Luke 17. Verse 37. We're still talking about this difference in the two descriptions of eagles. Let's look at verse 37. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." The word gathered together is synagogo, where the word synagogue comes from. And it gives us the impression that the eagles are a type of the members of the body. And wherever the eagles are, there are no snakes. And the idea of your mind being the snake then makes that come to life, makes that have sense. Wherever the body is, and that's the word soma, which means a living body, there will the eagles be gathered together. They will be a synagogue. Remember, the word synagogue is the Hebrew word, but synagogue was never meant to be a building, just like church was never meant to be a building. The word church is ecclesia, and it was always, in the New Testament, and for the first century church, it always indicated the people, not the building. And the word synagogue was the same kind of word. It just means the gathering together, and it was never a building. It was always the people. But the idea that where the body is, there will the eagles, it's the eagles that are being gathered together. And the eagles are there, that wherever the eagle is, as a parable here, the snakes aren't. The mind isn't. Now, I know that's difficult to understand, but does everybody at least have an idea of what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I have an idea, but I don't fully agree.
Okay. Let's go back to Genesis.
What is it that doesn't ring, Gary? What doesn't ring?
I think it's the blanket statement of the absolute uselessness of the mind. Because the other scriptures talk about, with my mind I serve the law of God.
Well, it's the mind of Christ that serves the law of God. Certainly the mind of man doesn't.
Yeah, but then when you say that the only function of the mind of Christ is emptying,
so that there's direct communication with the Father.
He has no mind.
That's right. He has the mind of the Father because the communication is clear. The channel is clear.
Okay. Now that makes a little more sense.
That's the only thing I've ever said.
No, I don't think Father. So then that's a completely different statement.
Right. That's why we have the mind of Christ, which is that word emptiness. Christ has the mind of Christ, which is emptiness. And both lead to a clear channel directly to the Father. Of mine own self, I can do nothing. If Christ of his own self can do nothing, we then must be able to do less than nothing except be a channel.
Because we have no interest in the things of this world. Our own interest is the love of God that does.
Well, it's not. It's everything. It's not just there's in this in that position. There's never thinking. There's only action. Talking about the finished purpose. When sanctification has done its job, this is what I'm talking about. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Meaning what?
Innate means it's inherent. It's just part of who I am. It's part of being a human being. You give no thought to a lot of what happens in my daily life. I give no thought to it. It just happens.
All right.
You said innate. Do you have a different definition for it? Did you misunderstand me?
No, I just didn't. So if there's contemplation or consideration or study, those words are verbs, and could you then say this is the mind of Christ or the mind of God?
There's contemplation, there's considering, there's all of those things. The goal of it all is to see the emptiness of futility of the mind of man.
I'm trying to keep on the track of God. The mind of God is resident in Christ, of who we confess our life is. So either our confession is false, or there's
again, be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you might have the mind of Christ. That's not what happens and suddenly. It's maybe sometimes it does, but mostly it's this thing of going over and over and finally and seeing more and more of the emptiness and futility of your own mind, or in the mind of all of men. Because you find out, without too much trouble, you find out that your mind is the evil one.
Well, is there non-emptiness and non-futility through our repentance?
Well, repentance is a constant. It's not a one-time thing.
So I'm aware that my mind is fruitless and empty and is capable of nothing good. But let's say I'm at the level of sanctification. I live a life of repentance.
All right,
are therefore my what happens in my life not fruitless and not empty and not worthless?
It depends on where the source is. If the source is habit patterns and neuron patterns of the old of the mind of your old self, then it's fruitless and empty. Again, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. We need to be reminded of this periodically. And the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now, if you don't believe that the serpent was the mind of Eve and Adam when they agreed to the fall or to the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then this won't make any sense.
So Genesis 3 what?
3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. And what was this? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because thou hast done this, talking to your mind and my mind and all men's mind forever. because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall I go, or by thy appetites thou shalt be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. That's the definition of the human race. They're led by their appetites, and dust is all they eat. As opposed to what Christ said, that you must eat of his body, gain sustenance and satisfaction only from him, and drink his blood, gain worth only from him. Now that's why abandon yourself. I mean, is the first thing he said to the disciples. Abandon, totally divorced from you. Who is you? You're mine. Now let's go to Philippians 3. Right, but it's the staying dead that's important.
Yeah.
Instead of resurrecting it constantly. All right, listen to what Paul said. I believe he was referring directly to that scripture in Philippians 3. Starting in verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Win is a little awkward word there, but you suffer the loss of all things, and be found of him, not having mine own righteousness, not being right about anything, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Now again, the law here is just, it's not necessarily, the word is nomos, and it just means the way a thing works. That's what we strive for. From the time we're aware of self, we try over and over 1,000 times to find how a thing works. And we've tried to do this so that we can be successful in knowing how to do things. Whether it's carpentry, whether it's finance, whether it's mowing the lawn, whether it's anything. We end up continually trying to know how a thing works, or this arena here, this arena there, every possible arena in your life. You know how to walk, you know how to spit, you know, whatever. So, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And your own righteousness, you've got to see this, it comes from knowing how to do something. Does that communicate at all?
Sounds
do something, do anything.
That's your own right.
Right. And that's what you and I and the world has done from the time of their awareness of self. They've tried over and over. I remember learning how to tie my shoes. My dad sat there and he was very patient. I was sitting on the steps to upstairs. And I can remember it distinctly over and over and over until I finally learned how to tie my shoes. And I was ecstatic in righteousness because I learned how to do something. The first time I rode a bicycle, the same thing. My dad, they bought me a bicycle. Man, I tried and I fell, and I tried and I fell, and they kept running. And I finally learned how to ride a bicycle. And man, I was in hog heaven. I finally learned how to parse sentences. And I knew how to do stuff. Hallelujah. And this is what not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And the law is how a thing works. So we try over and over and over to know how to do stuff. And therein is our own righteousness. Do you understand that? I mean, I could go on forever about learning how to do something. And all of a sudden, you all know, you've all been there. That's what this is talking about. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You got it? Is there anybody that doesn't understand that? All right. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The only righteousness is you not knowing how to do anything. I even have a faint memory of learning how to walk, learning those first steps. Well, nothing like it.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. You still know how to walk.
But now it's automatic. That happens so that we can understand what faith leads to. If it's not automatic, it's not a faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You understand what the power of his resurrection is? It's doing stuff without thinking about it. It's doing stuff without any pattern beforehand. You have now the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith. This is at the gut level. This isn't a religious philosophy here. All right. Just unplug it.
Maybe in number 9, it's like for your own righteousness. Yeah, you do learn to tie your shoes, and it's automatic, and you ride a bike, and you drive the car, and you, whatever you do. But there's I'm trying to put the mind in function. It's a function of the mind in these processes.
It's total.
And in all the things of the law, you
use your mind. Right, no question.
Yeah. But in the things of Christ,
the things of God.
The things of God in Christ, you abandon your talents.
You abandon everything.
And
if he's not there, you die.
And in that, you either die or you live.
And he lives.
And he lives, and you live.
He dies, you live.
Same thing.
I know. It's a big difference.
Well, Well, it's that subtle I, he, we.
All right. Let's go on here. We're not to the good part yet. That I may know him. Again, do you understand? The abandonment of self, the getting rid of all of your own rightness, is the by definition, in terms of the sentence, that you abandon it in order that you may know him and the power of his resurrection. So that it's your very life that knows him and the power of his resurrection, rather than putting God's name on the things that you already know how to do. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, because you're going to suffer when you don't do, when you've abandoned the not your whole idea of how you do stuff. All right.
Was part of this power of that resurrection being quickened by God? Is that what it boils down to know that power that God himself has?
Well, it's you know the power that overcame the righteousness that you had by faith instead of by law. And it happens in every arena of your life, and without exception. All right, let me continue. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. We have to be apprehended by the same thing. I mean, your entire being has to be apprehended by this. There is no other thought process. There's no other anything besides this, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That consumes your life. Now watch. Brethren, I count not, in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, or neglecting, it means really, which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And the things that are before, you're reaching forth without having any idea how to do it, and without any idea of where it's going to come from. And this covers the entire spectrum of your life. Forgetting those things that are behind. Neglecting. And that means the very essence of your being you've neglected, forgotten, no longer an issue, because you're a new creation that has nothing to do with the past. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be fully tested is what that means, perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it to you, even this unto you. Nevertheless, wherefore, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. What you follow in him? His total abandonment of self. And that condition of total abandonment of self, they're calling perfect. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now here's the kicker that goes back to Genesis 3 that we just read. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They don't think they're enemies of the cross because they're really religious. Jesus Christ is about everything they do, they think. You understand that? Listen to what he says now. For many walk of home, I told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetites or belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, who give breath to earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now the whole idea of here, he's condemning those that are the enemies of the cross because they're still led by their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, for they're still minding or giving importance to earthly things. Is that clear? Even Paul says he hadn't attained, but he presses toward that mark by total abandonment of self. Because self is dead. And everything that you learned before this, whether it was walking, tying a shoe, anything, was of the evil one. And it was all about minding earthly things, minding, giving breath, giving importance to things that are in time and space. Because you learn how to do something and then you do it well, and then you have your righteousness. That's why we are said that we mount up as wings, as eagles. Now, the whole idea of an eagle, when I lived in Wyoming, I was a guide, hunting guide, and much of the time I was up in the high mountains, and just even when I wasn't guiding, I went up there and just watched. And there were a lot of eagles. And the one thing, eagles, they live at the highest level in that area. When they come out of the nest, they don't even flap their wings. You watch an eagle, and he never, ever, he just rides the wind. Their wings never flop. That's what we shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's the whole mystery here. Where the eagles are, there are no snakes. There's no more mind use. You've abandoned self. And that little mystery is how they turned the world upside down. They altered the environment that they lived in. Wherever they were, they altered the environment. And every single one of those 12 men, except for John, was killed. For that faith, because it was a threat to every form of thought that was extant at that time, and now it's still a threat to every form of thought today. Doesn't matter whether it's financial or political or behavioral or anything. We're not of this world. So this is the lesson. I mean, we could go and read all. We may do that, in fact, tomorrow. But to read the scriptures about eagles, it's incredible. Often the body or the people are the believers are considered or looked to be as eagles. Can you feel what I'm talking about? The freedom of total abandonment of self.
Times when I should be dead. It's just, and I'm sure you have many more. I don't know how many.
God, yeah.
But just I remember the exhilaration about when the horse ran away with me. I mean, it was exhilarating, even though I was totally out of control. You know, my dad was racing across the field on his horse,
And but the exhilaration, and then I just, you know, had a statement in my mind, let it ride, you know, just let it ride. That to me, that's very much like abandonment, or that's like a type of abandonment.
Amen. My hobby was mountain climbing for much of my early life. And it's the same thing. It scares the crap out of you because you're climbing up this face that's it's essentially vertical. Then you have to sleep up there. You have to use the things and sleep. And it's just everything is a total risk, but everything is total exhilaration. Same thing. First time I jumped out of an airplane. My God, I was scared to death. But the moment I hit the air, it was mind-bending. Well, that's what he wants for us. That mind-bending freedom. Exhilaration of abandonment. And that's your inheritance. And this thing is the enemy of that, the mortal enemy. It's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. You can't parcel it out. Well, I'm going to use it for this good stuff over here, and then I'm going to abandon over here. The hydra, the snake heads, and then you had to cut one off, and then you grow right back again. So you finally got to cut the right one off.
At some point, maybe now, it often talks about being minded. So there's a difference between being minded and the mind. It says right in here.
Be otherwise minded.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Except the freedom of abandonment.
Let us walk by the same thing, that word. And let us mind the same thing.
Right. Given mind there is just the word that means give importance to.
What verse are you in?
It's Philippians 3.
Well, it's often in several places throughout the Bible talks about being minded.
Like-minded,
mind earthly things, mind heavenly things. So I mean, there's some relationship there to the function of your focus, which is directed by your brain.
No, we have the mind of Christ. That's let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Totally different. Then that's the mind that can serve God. Abandonment is there's no anchor. There's no tie back to the world. Abandon. That's why the parable in Isaiah about it said, "Be not though like who sin as it were with a cart rope," because they've got a rope tied to bringing stuff apart, maybe some good stuff with them.
Make precious.
But it can't happen. Well, let's look at that real quick. Isaiah 5. Verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Trying to take any part of the old you with you, and you're sinning with a cart rope. That includes you can't take any part of the mind with you. All right. take it, big guy. That's Eagles 101.